go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 68 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Yes, I recorded this entire episode previously. I did not press the record button, so we are redoing the episode, the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. I'm very, very upset with myself, frustrated. I do this way too much. It's funny. You might not notice, but when I press the record button on the camera, there's a big red light around the screen. I can kind of see myself now. It blinks to let you know. And the entire episode, I kind of had, I just felt like something was a little off. I didn't know. And then once I said, hey, go suck a fat one, it hit me. It's like, oh, B-Man didn't press the record button. I'm going to have to redo this entire episode. Hey, second try, second side. You know, it's similar to sometimes I, when I'm having, you know, doing the sex thing, I'll forget to suck on both titties. You ever do that? You get so excited to perform that you suck on one titty, then you go to the nether regions, and afterwards, when you're home alone, you go back home, because who wants to sleep over that with strangers? You get home, and it hits you, like, oh, I didn't suck the left one. That was rude of me. And it's that weird, awkward, well, do I call her and ask her and start and tell her, like, hey, do I apologize for not sucking on her right titty? Or do I just not mention it? And then if there is a second and third time, focus much more so on the right titty the second and third time to make up for my shortcomings the first time where I did not suck her right titty. That's happened more than once with me. I still don't know the protocol going forward when that happens. Please let me know down in the comments what you should do if you forget to suck both titties during a lovemaking session. I'm open to suggestions. The B-Man, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to become a better person. I'm trying to become a better lover. So any advice, any tips, I'm willing to listen and take notes of. I've been calling myself a B-Man a lot. I want to let you know, nobody gave me that nickname. This is a fallacy that someone else has to give you a nickname. We all have this idea in our head that, well, when you're in elementary school or middle or high school, that you do something embarrassing, a student calls you out for it, and before you know it, you have some awkward nickname that lasts with you through life. And then when you're an adult and you're in a work setting, and one of your boys comes to the office or he's around your coworkers, he calls you that weird, like, hey, yo, jump rope. And then he's like, what? That's your nickname. And then everyone in your office starts calling you, like, you can't get away from that nickname. Doesn't need to be like that. I just started calling myself B-Man on stage. Did it enough times where others start calling me it. People's Degenerate. I says on camera every episode, like, People's Degenerate. So now that's another alias that I have. So if you want a nickname, just keep calling yourself something over and over again, and eventually it will catch on. And that's what people in your social circle will start calling you. If you're interested, if you're curious to know, my nickname as a child was really just my last name, Glass. Played a lot of sports, a lot of basketball. Brian is a pretty common American name, all-American name. So my coaches would call me by my last name, Glass, and that's kind of what I was called through high school and even college. But yeah, now I'm the B-Man because you can change your name. Clapping because I plucked my eyebrows right before this episode. I plucked my eyebrows. I plucked my ears. So if there is a little red mark right there, that's the reason why. I pluck my eyebrows twice a week. I'm vigilant with my eyebrows. That's probably what I get complimented on the most. If you could allow me a little compliment, it is My eyebrows and my eyes that are two things I get complimented on the most. And whenever anybody gives me a compliment on the brows, I let them know, oh, I plucked those twice weekly, bi-weekly. And they're all, I always get this perplexed look when I tell somebody that. It's like, babe, this is not God-given. I need to work on this beauty. These stunning brows, I'm putting in hours in the bathroom getting those looking nice, nicely shaped. I just make sure they're not all out of whack. Okay, here's the thing. Because if you have a stray nose hair or an ear hair or something like a hair on your face, that's what people notice first. Like once somebody notices you have a nose hair coming out of your nostril, it's similar to taking a red pill. Once you notice it, there's no going back. That's what you're known as. When somebody mentions you, that person will go, oh, yeah, he's got nose hair coming out of the nostril. That, and then other people start noticing it, and nobody will tell you unless you have... The only person who could tell you have hair coming out of your nose or ear is a lover. And if you do have nose hairs coming out of your nostrils, you probably don't have a lover, so nobody's going to tell you. The B-Man, I might be... Of all the people on the internet, I might be the one who talks about body hair the most. Not gonna lie. If it was socially acceptable, my first question to when I meet a stranger for the first time would be, what's your pubic hair look like? I am always curious what other people's pubic hair, what their situation is. And this goes for boys and girls. It's probably a good thing I'm not in management in corporate America. Because if I was a hiring manager, that'd be one of the first five questions I'd ask during an interview is, do you wax, shave, trim, hair laser, or do you let it grow out? I want to know. If you're going to be on my staff, if you're going to be one of my team, you're going to corporate battle with the B-Man, I want to know what you're rocking down there. If you're interested in what I'm doing, I trim. The B-Man, I trim. I don't like shaving because, you know, you get the razor bumps, and I wouldn't shave also because I have a lot of chest hair. So here's the thing. If I were to shave my pubic area, there would be a line of demarcation, almost like the continental shelf where there'd be hair and then drop off the no hair. So what I do is I try to trim. And I make it tidy down there so Mr. Perfect looks a little longer. And he doesn't like hair getting in the way. He likes the free flow. So, you know, we're a team. I help him out. He helps me out. So, hey, now everyone on the internet knows what's on underneath these pants. Okay, so record buttons. Oh, one more thing. One more note before we get to Reddit. I probably have had a 3-year hiatus. I've gone sober without asparagus. I stopped eating asparagus because it makes your pee smell. And anytime I would eat asparagus, the scent of my pee would be so potent that it wouldn't make me faint, but it would knock me back, like Mike Tyson jabbing me in his prime. Boom, boom, whoa. But so I stopped eating asparagus, but I do like the taste, and I've gone back to eating asparagus recently, and to my dismay, my pee is worse than it's ever been. The smell, the aroma, it's more. Than it's ever been. And what I'm also noticing is the thickness of my pee after I eat asparagus, like the next morning, it's a thicker substance, not maple syrup and not, but it's not as clear as water either. It's kind of a mix, similar to Southern Comfort, if you've ever had that liquor. You know, it's a little thicker than normal vodka or rum. It's got a little thickness to it. It's a little stickier. It resembles being after a hard night of drinking where you're dehydrated and your pee is super yellow, and it almost seems to have a film on top of the toilet water. That's what the asparagus is doing to my urine. So I'm going to have to refrain again from eating asparagus. I know it's healthy for you, and I do like the greens. So I'm going to go back to just eating green peas and broccoli and basil. Does basil count as a green veggie? Is basil, or is that just a plant? I don't know my shit when it comes to veggies and fruit. But yeah, broccoli, peas, asparagus. At 3 years, I fell off the wagon. I'm getting back on the wagon. No more asparagus. For the B-Man, a nickname I gave myself. All right, found this one earlier this week on the subreddit, regret. I regret not getting someone's number on the train. Now I'll never see them again. I, a female, 25, got on a train on Saturday. I was minding my own business and eating some hula hoops in my own world. Confession, I do not know what hula hoops are. I'm assuming that's some type of tasty snack. Suddenly, this young guy puts his head through the seat and starts chatting to me about the hula hoops. We're both laughing. He was with a bunch of guy friends pre-drinking. Cool. I started to feel nervous and I was listening to music on my headphones. He talked to me a couple times, asking me what I was listening to, and I showed him. But then I needed to get off the train, so I got up and left before any details were exchanged. I'm the type of person with anxiety and issues around regret, so I'm ruminating on this silly interaction really bad. I found him cute, and he seemed nice. In my day-to-day life, I live with my parents in a small town without many young people, so I feel like I wasted an opportunity to meet someone without dating apps. I'm also 8 months out of a toxic relationship. You were so close. So close. I was on your side. I was rooting for you to find the love of your life till that last sentence. And it all crumbled for the B-Man. I can't fuck with you. That last sentence is too much of an indictment against you and your personality. Let me explain. You said you got to have a toxic relationship 8 months ago. Nope. 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 That is not allowed. That is not permitted with ex relationships. You are past 3 months. You cannot use months to dictate how long you've been out of a relationship. Up to 3 months, perfectly fine. Hey, when was your last relationship? Oh, I got out of a relationship last month, 2 months, 3 months ago. That's fair game. Nobody's going to question you for that. But anything after any time period after 3 months, you're not allowed to use a baby, like baby dates. So, you know, baby, like how old's your baby? Oh, my baby's 17 months years old. You're not allowed to do that relationships. You're not allowed to say, oh, I got out of a relationship 15 months ago. Nope. You got to use seasons or years in my not so humble verdict opinion. So, you know, if you got, hey, when was your last relationship? You have to say, if it's post 3 months, you have to say, oh, last winter or last fall or give a year. So if it was 18 months ago, oh, close to 2 years ago. When you start using months, the B-Man's going to make a prediction. And I do believe this is true, that you are 100% a stalker. Now, not in the physical sense where you're going out in, following your ex toxic boyfriend's car and following everywhere he goes, but you're following your ex and his current lover, if he has one, on social media through a burner account, and you're watching every day. And you are, I would not be surprised, the B-Man, the people's degenerate, and all of us here at Verbal Graffiti, we would not be surprised if you're trying to sabotage your ex-toxic boyfriend's new relationship. How might you be doing that? It depends on how spiteful you are as an ex. Maybe you're slashing the tires of this ex's new girlfriend's Subaru. Perhaps you're, what else may you be doing? Perhaps you're you're sending emails to the new girlfriend's parents trying to convince them that this new girlfriend has an addiction to cocaine and that she needs to go away to rehab. That way, it will create distance between the boyfriend and a new girlfriend and will hopefully break them up if that's your goal. Or maybe you'll befriend the new girlfriend's best friend and use that new friendship to create a wedge between the new girlfriend and your ex-toxic boyfriend. Whatever it may be, saying you gotta have a relationship 8 months ago, anything's possible with you when it comes to following your partner, ex-partner on social media, and most likely so the new lovers that he's getting with, putting his dick inside of. So I know I shouldn't be helping you because you're probably a bit toxic yourself and are going to destroy the soul of the next man you're with, but you posted on Reddit, so we're here to help you. Yeah, you blew it. You had a shot at this guy. You literally had a chance to be the lead actress in a high-budget real-life rom-com, and you blew it. This is what could have happened. This would have been the opening scenes of your rom-com, which you're the lead actress of. This all-American American with the square jaw interrupts you, asks you about the hula hoops, what music you're listening to, and you shoo him away because you're turned off by his abrasiveness, his toxicness. Why is it that it's always the toxic men that are drawn to you? And are there not any other men in this world that can seriously discuss the philosophy of Nietzsche and the merits of Gothic architecture prevalent in Europe during the Middle Ages? You're asking yourself these questions, but then the guy interrupts you again. And this time you notice, you stare at the guy a little bit longer, this all-American American, and you notice the faint outline of a dimple on his cheek, and you know yourself that you're a sucker for all-American Americans with square jawlines and dimples. That's your weak spot. So you allow him to talk, and you realize, oh, he's actually quite charming. I mistook his toxicness for what it really is, which is charming and amusing. And you have a conversation. And if this guy, if he's worth the Letterman jacket on his back, he'd offer you a watermelon White Claw that he has in a cooler that him and his boys are drinking. And you're talking and you're engaging and you get to your stop and it hits you. It's like, oh no, I have to get off the train right now. But the all-American American, his stop after his talking, I know is 4 stops away, 35 minutes away, where the stadium's at, where him and his boys are going to go. But there's this moment where you and the all-American American make eye contact. It's only a moment, but it seems like an eternity. And it hits you. It's like, oh, the all-American American just bid his friends farewell. And he gets off the train with you. And so begins your love story. Where it ends, if it ever ends, we'll never know. Because you fucked up. And you couldn't pick up on the easy signs that this guy was giving you. You fucked up. You turtled inside of your headphones. And you shut this guy off from what could have been a burgeoning, once-in-a-lifetime love affair. Titanic-like. Or I guess since you're on a train, this would be more Before Sunset-like. The B-Man. I love rom-coms, so I can cite them all day long. You need to learn. But learn from this experience. Everything needs to be a learning experience. I'm here to help you out. Since you admit that you live in a sparsely populated area with not many young people, I advise you not to wear your headphones while you're out in public. Headphones act as a stop sign for us Johns that are out in the public trying to go after our prey being single women that we're trying to get in relationships with. And since you're single, I don't wear the earbuds in public because it prevents many men. And think of how many hot guys, hot studs, who were going to approach you but did not because they saw the earbuds and thought you didn't want to be bothered with. you're missing out on so many interactions, possible interactions, love affairs because of those stupid earbuds. It's like, what do you want to like? Do you want to listen to Taylor Swift's new album, Tortured, a Death Poet? Or do you want to actually be in love yourself and be able to write the lyrics of a love song? I think you want the latter. So stop stuffing those earbuds into your ear. Let them free. Let hear what's going on in the world. Thankfully for you, and this is my last bit of advice for you, we live in the year 2024, and I don't know if you know this or not, but there is this thing called the internet and social media. And since you're a young lady, I'm going to assume you're quite proficient with social media, whether that be Instagram, TikTok, X, Snapchat. Do some investigative work, which you ladies are all experts at. I'm sure you can figure out what sporting events were going on that day you were on the train near you. Search that event, and I'm sure with some little investigative research, some little grease elbow, you'll find out who this guy is or who one of his friends is. And then you could slide into the DM and make up for your faux pas on the train. And because it all goes down to DM. So I'm rooting for you. I hope you can find this guy on social media and he can be your future ex-toxic boyfriend. Instead of photos, I went out into the real world earlier this week and I filmed some of my escapades. So I'm going to show you now what I was up to. Lights, camera, I got everything on. Action. Episode 68, segment 2. I am very thankful that I am not P. Diddy right now or have ever been, and I'm assuming neither of you are either, but if any of you do know P. Diddy and know how to access him in prison, whether that's Rikers Island or whatever New York City prison he is in, send him an episode of Verbal Graffiti to watch. I'm sure he needs something to bide his time while he's on suicide watch there. Well, that's a juicy one. That, as a guy who's a conspiracy theorist, I've heard that there have been a lot of allegations on the internet against P. Diddy the past few years on certain corners of the internet. And it seems like some of it's going to come out. And I'm looking forward to it. I don't like that any of this alleged activities with kids and prostitutes across state lines have happened. But as an onlooker, it is going to be entertaining. But we're moving on. That's P. Diddy. We're trying to stay above board. I'm a goody two-shoe. I don't break laws, which is, you might find that odd or surprising. When you see this background, you would think I'm a degenerate, but I'm actually not. I'm afraid of the law, so I obey the laws. And as I've mentioned before, I'm now driving the speed limit. If the speed limit is 55, I will not go above 60. And I used to get really self-conscious when I would drive in the slow lane, the speed limit, cars would pass me, they'd honk, they'd flip me off. Now, I just find it's amusing to me. I laugh. I don't want to become a statistic, a dead driver. Watch me get into a deadly car accident later this evening. It does amuse me now, though, when I make other drivers angry because I'm following the law. Like, don't be mad at me. Be angry at whoever set whatever the speed limit is. I'm just following the law. I'm a little bitch. I put my hand up. I admit that I'm a little bitch, that I'm a little goody two-shoe. So, yeah, stop honking your horn at the B-man and start honking it at your state legislator or whoever it is that decides what the speed limit is. As I've been editing these most recent episodes, my heart is starting to weep. And the reason being is I'm a firm believer that looks are what are most important to human beings. The way we look is much more important than what's on the inside. And I'm losing my summer tan that I work so diligently on. I don't lay in the sun, but I run at least 3 times per week with my shirt off. And I do so that the sun will hit me. I'll get all that nice vitamin D so I have a strong immune system. But also so I'll get that nice golden tan for me. Now I'm very pale and I'm going back to that fall, winter paleness. I'm editing these videos and it's hitting me like, ooh, I'm looking cadaverous. I'm very, very cadaverous looking. It looks like I have cancer again. That's one big joke that all comics, when I'm doing roast battles, someone inevitably will say, oh, he's a cancer patient because I have no hair. I'm very, very skinny, and I'm very, very cadaverous. Cadaverous, that's the vocab word I'm trying to use this episode. So I think I've used it 3 times in a row right there, being very redundant. My English teachers would chastise me for doing so, but fuck my English teachers. I graduated high school. I don't need to follow those English rules anymore. No, I actually like my English teachers. Let's move on. Please don't make fun of how pale I am. I'm very self-conscious of that. Found this one on the subreddit. I actually look at this one a lot. It's a subreddit, breastfeeding support. Edibles while breastfeeding. Well, let's have at it. I am 2 months postpartum. I did edibles before getting pregnant, but occasionally, like once in every 2 weeks, and stopped after finding out I was pregnant. I just need a little relaxation, but want to be made aware of the risks. I have a really low tolerance, so I wouldn't be taking much if that even makes a difference. The internet is such an odd universe where we have moms coming to the internet to ask strangers health questions about their babies. And yeah, listen, I don't have much experience with breastfeeding myself, although I do have great nips. For a guy, I have my nipples, the size of my nipples, the areolas, it's perfection. If you could see them, if you were a lady, if you're attracted to cadaverous looking fellas, you'd want to suck on my nips and extract any milk out of them if that was possible. But again, why am I talking about myself? Back to you and your predicament. Can you get high on gummies while you're still breastfeeding? Now, I searched the CDC website. I looked through it diligently, and yes, it is healthy for you. Oh, this is medical advice. It is healthy for you to consume up to 45 milligrams of THC while breastfeeding your newborn baby. So my advice, and this is medical advice, I did not attend any medical university. No, I didn't take any anatomy classes while I was attending school. But what I'm about to give you, what the B-Man's about to give you, is medical advice. I advise you take the up to 45 milligrams of THC, whatever gummies you may have, wait 45 minutes, and yes, attach your newborn's lips to your titty. And then let me, the B-Man, suck your other titty so that we can all get high together, and I will not report you to authorities if you allow me to suck on the non-baby tit that's, you know, bare and could use some lips on it to, you know, even things out. We all like symmetry here. Why not? Fuck it. I mean, honestly, this baby, what makes babies annoying is that they cry and they moan and they don't sleep. I think THC, a few edibles, will help your baby alleviate all his problems. He'll stop crying. He'll start sleeping. To be honest with you, and again, this is medical advice, giving your baby some THC secondhand through your titty will help your baby sleep much more so than any overpriced bassinet sleep swivel. Am I wrong? Now, again, I'm not a parent, but THC makes me fall asleep, so I'm sure it would make a newborn 2-month-year-old baby fall asleep. To me, it's win-win chicken dinner for everybody around. Being a mom is fucking tough, right? It's exhausting. You get no sleep. It's all stress. High anxiety. And your baby, as I previously mentioned, it's crying. It wants food. It's moaning. It can't fall asleep. The THC, the edibles, gives you both what you need. It it gives you relieves that edge that you have. It will help you with your stress and your anxiety, and it'll help your baby stop crying like that little baby bitch that he is, and will allow him to, you know, take his nap without moaning about it. So yeah, I advise, yeah, definitely. More moms should give their newborn babies a THC edibles through their titty milk. And there's so many moms out there who are so annoying these days. As me, I'm not really sure if I'm middle class, but most of my friends are successful. So they're super paranoid about breast milk and formula and all these white, bitchy, basic bitch Karen moms who are, they're eating all organic food so they have the healthiest breast milk, or they're seeking out the most organic formula that's five times more expensive than the formula you can get at BJ's. And the only place you can get it is from Morocco. So they're illegally getting it from some website from Morocco, and they're shipping it over to some P.O. box number, so it doesn't match up with their house, so the federal agents can't get them. But so many moms are paranoid about the formula and the breast milk, and they're always pumping. And these moms, I feel bad for those babies, because those moms that are super cautious with their breast milk and their formula, like those babies, they won't know what soda is until they go to their first sleepover and have some grape soda when they're 12 years old. And honestly, if you're me, which situation would I want to be in as a child? Like, yeah. The mom who's not popping edibles before breastfeeding, like, her child may grow up to have a stronger immune system than your child will. But at least your child will get to experience life. Now, I'll take that 10 out of 10 inebriated tits out of inebriated tits. And as they say, 25 milligrams of THC per tit keeps the pediatrician away. So yeah, definitely, no one's ever going to accuse you, edible mom, of being a helicopter parent. And every what generation now is this? Post-millennial? Whatever is post-millennial, like, these kids who all got helicopter parents, they're all fucked up in the head. They're all on antidepressants. They can't even go to a job interview without their parents coming with them. They have to FaceTime their parents every single day. They cannot live in the real world because they weren't allowed to go anywhere or do anything on their own, and their parents tracked every single movement on their phone. So no one's ever going to accuse you of being a helicopter parent. And I do believe that's for the best. It's for your well-being and your child's, future well-being. Being a parent's a bitch. You need something to take the edge off. Last episode, we had a parent who regretted being a parent. So all she wants to do is drink red wine. So, again, this is medical advice. I do believe taking some edibles is probably healthier than having breast milk filled with alcohol from red wine. And also, I also want to point out, look at me and how healthy I am. The bee man. Think about how creative, how charismatic, how much riz I possess. Let me disclose something right now. My mom, I'm the youngest of five. My mom smoked while pregnant with all of us, and we all turned out okay. And so did most kids whose moms smoked. But pre 1990, it was pretty common for moms like my own to smoke a pack a day while pregnant. Now, you would not bat an eye if you were at a gas station and you saw a mom the smoking an American spirit with the bulge in her belly from being pregnant and buying a six pack of Busch Light. You wouldn't even think twice. It's like, oh yeah, she's pregnant. She needs something to take the edge off. Good for her and the father to be. That's how life was back then. America became the hegemony, the most powerful country the world has ever seen, the most powerful empire of all time, while most moms smoked while pregnant. Which makes you think, doing drugs, drinking alcohol, and smoking cigarettes while pregnant leads to great nations. So yes, you should be doing those edibles, and next time you get pregnant, do the edibles while pregnant. I don't know if this is a causation, but I do think that the average IQ of Americans has decreased since the year 2000. Maybe the reason why is because all these pregnant ladies refuse to smoke and do drugs and do alcohol while pregnant. Makes you think, why is the IQ decreasing? Maybe we should be giving a pregnant mom's a pack of an American Spirits per day. Worked for my mom. I think it will work for all those moms out there listening. So if you're watching or listening right now, via whatever platform that may be, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and you're pregnant, light up a cigarette, pop yourself a gummy, have a glass of wine, have some food with mercury in it. What's that food you're not supposed to eat? A tuna? Have some tuna while you drink a box of red wine and pop yourself a 25 milligram edible to help you fall asleep. It will help you with that morning sickness. So yeah, it's good for you. No worries. Your child will turn out okay. Look at the B-man. My mom smoked a pack a day while pregnant with me. I turned out all right. So nothing to worry about with your child. And even if your child does lose a little brain matter, who gives a fuck, really? At least he won't be a dweeb, right? At least when he's in kindergarten, he won't be the loser ratting on a kid who's smoking a cigarette, you know, in the sandbox, because he'll be there smoking with them, because you're teaching him early that drug users are cool. And the last thing you want to be in school is uncool. So you're setting your child up for a very, very eventful future. So good for you. I'm giving you the Mom of the Year Award 2024. But to everybody else, go suck a fat one.